Loving gracious Father, we thank you for this beautiful time you have given us, where we heard about taking up our cross and following you. Lord, as we heard the word, help us to keep that in our mind and take up our cross daily and follow you, denying the things that take us away from you and take us away from your throne. Tonight, O Lord, I pray that you speak to each one of us. Bless us tonight with your word. Thank you for everything that you're doing for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we start our lesson for tonight, just a basic introduction I want to say. We already started a couple of lessons over the last weeks, and we discussed about the mystery of human life, how God has made us very mysterious into three parts: body, soul, and spirit. And what God desires from us is that we will be full of God. In fact, God will reside in our bodies, in our hearts, because He will make us His temple. And we will reflect Christ to other people. That is the desire of God. And what God wants from our life is that we have a relationship through what is called a salvation. We accept Christ in our hearts, and we are born again. So once we are born again, the last class that we had gone through was the assurance. How do we know that we are born again? We went into that. Tonight in our class, we are going to study for a few moments about the security of our salvation. Now you say that you are a born again person. Now you may have a question in your heart that I was saved, I was born again. Is my salvation secure? Am I going to be saved tomorrow? Or is it just like, today I am born again, tomorrow I am not. Today I am saved, tomorrow I am not. Because I do something wrong. We all do wrong things in our life, right? We are not perfect. We all do or speak wrong things. So when you speak or do something wrong, is your salvation affected because of that? And that is what we are going to look into tonight. The security of our salvation. And the question is, do we have any doubts about our security? Because many times as young people, you may feel that I am not really living right for God. I am not doing what God wants in my life. And am I really saved, God? Because you don't feel like being saved. When you come for a worship meeting, you don't feel like praying to God. You don't feel like reading the Bible. You don't feel like worshiping. And then you doubt yourself. Am I really saved? Am I really born again? You may have that question in your heart. But tonight we want to answer that question, and I want to bring you a lot of Bible words. So I'll be very fast. I want you to go with me. Write down if you feel any points that are relevant to you. I want you to write down in the space in the handouts tonight. Can you lose your salvation? The Bible says no. Because, and we will go into that, your salvation cannot be undone. Once you are a child of God, you are a child of God. Okay? We will go into other things, but this is not based on what you are, but it is based on who God is. And for that, let us turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse number 14, it says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. God does it so that men should fear before God. So what God does, it is forever. So salvation, in fact, is something that God does in our heart, and it is a forever process that God has started. Tonight I want to bring before you seven ways how you can trust in the security of your salvation. There are seven things. Number one, salvation was initiated not by you, but it was initiated by God. Salvation was God's plan. It was God's idea. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse number 16, where Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask in my Father's name, in my name he will give you. Whatever you ask to my Father in my name, he will give you." So what did Jesus say? "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So God, salvation was God's idea. Number two, when did God ever think about saving you? It was not yesterday. We know that it was eternity past. Eternity past, way in the past, we were chosen, and it's called, we were predestinated. What is the meaning of predestination? What does it mean that you were predestinated? It means that you were marked out to be a child of God. Even before you were born, before the world was born, God in His infinite wisdom chose you and predestinated you to be a child of God. And look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 6, and you will know where Apostle Paul is speaking like this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world." Before God even founded the world. Last week I sent everybody an email, I hope you got it, about how you can see earth from the skies. I really, it was amazing. It was so pretty, I'm telling you. I loved it, because if some of you guys didn't get that email, you should pass it on to these guys also. It's one of the beautiful images of earth as I've ever seen it. And when you look at that, even before God created the world, even before God created the world, God knew about you and God marked you to be a child of God. And that is wonderful. It says that He predestinated us as adoption, as sons, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He had accepted us to His beloved. He chose us before the foundations of the world. Doesn't it strike you as exciting that God chose you and me before the foundations of the world? And since it was God's plan to save us, it is His plan to keep us in that salvation. And now the question is, can God choose us? Can God mark us, call us into salvation, and then abandon us and say, "No, he's no more safe"? No, that's not the answer. So the first thing is that salvation was initiated by God. Let us go to the next factor that we are looking into here, that God's love and grace are eternal. The grace of God and the love of God are not temporary, but they are eternal to us. Because it was because of the love of God that God saved us. If you turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. It says that in His love, it is this love that, not that we love God, but He loved us and has sent His Son to be a propitiation of our sins. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 to 30 says, I want us all to turn to that passage in your Bibles. Romans 8 verse 29 to 30 says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, them He called. Whom He called, these He justified. And whom He justified, them he also glorified. So you understand the progress here? Number one, he foreknew. He knew before. Number two, he predestined. Number three, he called, and then he justified, and then those he justified, he glorified. Now let me tell you the time span of it. Before God created the world, He foreknew it. He predestined us. Many times in our life, He called us. Okay? Now what we are happening? He is justifying us. He is justifying us. One day, we will be glorified before Him. When we go to before Christ, we will have a glorified body before Christ. So this is the process that God has kept for each one of us. And so this is the reason that He says that God, His love is eternal love, that He loved us so much. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 3 says, where God is saying, I loved you with an everlasting love. You know the love of God? We cannot even think about God's love, because His love has been so great. His love and the dimensions of His love, we cannot even think about the love of God. But He says that, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And again we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. It says that His grace has been towards us from eternity past, even before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9 says that according to His purpose and His grace, which was given to us before time began. Even before time. You know the element called time? There is a beginning for time, right? In the beginning. Even before time began, His love and His grace towards us was already evident. Can you understand? Can you even think about the extension of how much we are dear to God in His heart? We are really close to God in His heart because of the love and His grace that He has towards us. In John chapter 13 verse 1, it says that now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour has come, that He should depart from this world, having loved His own who were in this world, He loved them to the end. Look at Jesus, the personhood of God. He is displaying the characteristics of God. What was that? What is what He was displaying? Bobby, what do we read there? What are the characteristics that He displayed there? Rufus? He loved. He loved to the end. Even to the end, the last breath of His life, Jesus displayed the characteristics of God the Father, that He loved them even to the end, to the uttermost. And it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, God loved us so much. And when the love is inside our heart, it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, Paul is asking us a question. Who shall separate us from the love of God or from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, can you even think about the love of God through Christ? His love is so transcendent that we cannot even imagine. And that is the love that God has towards us. And nobody can separate us from the love of God. So, the security of our salvation is because of the fact that God's love and His grace are eternal towards us. The third reason that we have a security in our salvation is because God is righteous. You know, that is another attribute of God's characteristics. Not only that, He has grace towards us, He is merciful, but our God is also righteous. Psalms 89 and verse number 14 says that righteousness and justice are the foundations of His throne. It says that righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. You know, our God is a righteous God. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. But He is also a righteous God. So what has happened? By God's righteous judgment, if God was a judge sitting in a court of law, what should have been for each one of us? What was our fate? Do you know? Death. Romans, take turn to that passage. Romans 3 verse 23. What is written? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This, as God as a righteous judge, the judgment that He has upon each one of us is that we were supposed to die. There was no way that we could be alive because the wages of sin was death, and we are all sinners before God. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 says, the soul that sins will die. This is part of God's judgment law. You know, you have your teacher, for example, in your class. If you talk, there is a punishment that you get, right? Something. I don't know what happens, or if you come in late, or you do not do your exams. There is a certain something that you get because of something you do not do properly. God, in His righteous judgment, the punishment that He kept for you was that you were supposed to die. That was it. But then when God looked at you, and because the love of God was so much over that He wanted to fulfill His righteousness, but at the same time He wanted that you should not be condemned with everyone. So what did God do? We know the story. He came down 2000 years ago. Jesus came. He took our place. He took our punishment. He died on the cross on our behalf. He purchased our salvation and He paid off our debt in full. Right? He did everything instead of us. He took our place and He took the punishment for us. And what happened? That way God showed His righteousness by saving us from our sins. Romans 1 verse 16 and 17, it says, the righteousness of God was revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And Romans chapter 3 verse 25 and 26 says that Jesus Christ, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because of His forbearance God had passed over the sins that was previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just. You know, God is a just God. He wanted to fulfill His righteousness, but at the same time He could have let us off to die. He could have let us all to end up in hell. But God loved us so much. He still loves us so much. Even though we are unfaithful to Him, but God is still faithful to us. He loves us. He died for us. He took our place so that what we can do, we can trust Him and allow Him to take our place in our life. And so because of the righteousness of God, we can say that our salvation is secure. The fourth one, our salvation is secure because we have become God's children. You know, the moment you accept salvation in your life, you transform from the child of the devil to the child of God. There is an immediate parent transfer, like you get adopted into a family, right? Let's say you are an orphan. And your natural parents don't want you anymore, and you are adopted in another family. So what happens? You are legally, you get transferred to become a child of another family. When Christ bought your salvation by dying and by His own blood, what happened? You get adopted into the family of God. Do you understand? You get adopted to be in the family of God. Turn with me to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, "For as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to be called as the children of God. Those who believe in His name were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God." So, when you receive Christ in your life, God gives you the right to become a child of God. And that is a right that nobody can take away. So, our security is because we have become a child of God when we have received Christ in our life. And once we are born again, we cannot be unborn. It's a one-way process, you know. It's like a chemical reaction. When something turns into something else, you cannot reverse the reaction back, no matter whatever you try. So this is the case of being born again. Once you are born into the family of God, once you receive Christ in your heart, you have the privilege to be a child of God. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a wonderful thing? It doesn't matter about what we are, but it's because of the fact that God is righteous and we become called as the children of God, as the sons of God. And so we have the eternal life. Next, the fifth point that I want to speak about, our salvation is secure because God is strong. You know, our Father, our Heavenly Father is strong. He is not a weak person. He's not a weak person. You're testing the strength of each other's hands? Okay. God is a strong God. Let's look at one verse. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 verses 28 to 30. It says, Jesus has said, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." You know what Jesus is saying? Once you become the child of God, where are you right now? Can you tell me from the verse that I have just read? Can anyone tell me? Where are you? You are in the hand of God. You are in God's hand. And Jesus said, no one can snatch you out of my hand. He says in the same verse that you are in my Father's hand. No one can snatch. So, and then finally Jesus says, I and my Father are one. So once you become a child of God, you are in the hand of God. Can you understand that? I want you all to look at your hands for a moment. Just look at your hands. What do you see in these hands? It's something like, how close is your hand? Tell me. How close is your hand? Can anybody tell me? How close is your hand to your body? It's just a hand breath, right? It's this close. Anytime, how close are you to your heart? Your hand. Let us say, I'm giving you an example. Let's say you want to stretch your hand to the maximum. How much can you stretch?
About 28.5.
That's it. You know why? You cannot stretch beyond the length of your hand. You know why? Because it is attached to your body. When you say that you are in your Father's... Listen, you say that you are in your Father's hand. How far can you go away from your Father? As long as His hand is, right? That's it. Because He has you in His hand. And He says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. I'm telling you, the security that you have in God is because you are in the hand of God. Let me go into the sixth point. here. We are also secure because God never changes. Are you listening here? God never changes. Our salvation is rooted and grounded in a God who is unchanging. He's not like some of us, you know. Some of our friends, they are very friendly with us today. You know, you brush the wrong way, tomorrow they are not friends anymore. You know, they speak bad about you. They change colors. Like, you know, we have change of colors in the season. Now it is, you know, just a month before, all the tree leaves were wonderful to look at. Yellow and red and orange, you know. Now, what is the color of the leaves now? Now, they are all brown. They are all faded away. But God is not like that. He doesn't change. Unlike you and me. We change. But God doesn't change. He is the same God and He doesn't change. What does Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says? God said, I am the Lord. I do not change. God has said about Himself, I do not change. He is does not vary. James chapter 1 verse 17 says that there is no variation or shadow or turning from God. He doesn't vary at all. And Lamentations chapter 3 verses 22 and 23 says, through the Lord's mercy we are not consumed, because His compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. You know, do you know why you are alive today? Can anybody tell you? It's because of God's grace and His compassion. It's not because you are somebody great. Let me tell you that. It's because of God's compassion that we are not consumed. It is because of the grace of God that we are still alive, and we are still alive before God. Lastly, the final point, I'm going to close. I got a few more minutes, I'm going to close here. The final point, why our salvation is secure, is because Christ has promised us. He has promised to keep us. He has promised to uphold us. He has promised never to leave us alone. Can you believe that? John chapter 6 and verse 37. What does it say? All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast him out. When we go to Christ, He will never shut the door on your face. Unlike some of our friends, you know, you knock the doors, you ring the bell, you don't see the door opening there, you know. But Jesus says, you come to me, I will never cast you out. I will always accept you. That is our God. How wonderful it is. And Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15 says, Jesus has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. See, it's beautiful, isn't it? He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. His promises are unconditional. There are no strings attached. Many times our relationship, everything has a string attached. We call it WIFM. Do you know, anybody knows the full form of WIFM? WIFM. Anybody knows? It's a management term. But anybody knows what is the full form of WIFM?
Wife.
I don't know, it's nothing to do with wife. WIFM. What is that? What does that mean? Okay, since none of you know that, let me tell you the answer. WIFM is what's in for me.
What?
What's in for me? Anytime you go to anybody, the thing that is in your mind is, what do I get out of this? What is there for me? What is in for me? If I make a friendship with somebody, what's in for me? What do I get? That is man's attitude. But as I said, God doesn't have any strings attached. This is unconditional. So let me close this. You know, we have a powerful security in our salvation. Let me tell you, we have God's selection, we have His predestination, His calling, His love, His grace, His righteousness, His life, His strength, His unchanging faithfulness, and His promises as the foundation, the guarantee, and the security of our salvation. Did you understand what I said?
Yeah.
I want us all to open our Bibles to 2 Timothy. We are going to close now. I want all of you to stand up. I know some of you are feeling very cold and I don't know what else. Let's all open our Bibles. Everybody, take out your Bibles. Open to this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. We heard about suffering today from Bobby. And this is a continuation. It says that. I want you all to read out with me. Can all of you read out with me together?
Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Let me tell you, this was some of the last verses that Paul wrote. He was sitting in a Roman prison before the end of his life. And he wrote these verses down. This is a very, very important word. And this is a reflection of his life. What is Paul saying here? Let's all read together. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Did you understand what I'm saying? I know whom I will. Keep your Bibles down, please. I want us everyone to close your eyes for a moment. Let this be a few minutes of quiet time before God. I want you to think about your personal life. I want you to think for a moment about the salvation that God has achieved for you through His Son Jesus, who died for you, who gave up His life for you. Who is holding you in the palm of His hand? Who has kept you as the apple of His eye? Whose love towards you? Whose compassion towards you? Whose faithfulness towards you are evident every day in our lives? We have come to the almost to the last part of 2008. Do you know if you are going to see 2009? Do you know how many days more longer we are going to be alive? I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives. Believe me, and don't take your life for granted. Don't take your life for granted. Don't take your life for granted. Yes, I'm talking to you. Don't take your life for granted. You never know what's going to happen. Let us close our eyes. Look to God tonight. For a moment, I want you to just surrender yourself before God and say, Lord, there is nothing I can speak about myself except that I live every day. It's only because of Your grace. It's because of Your mercy. It's because of Your love, Lord. It's because of Your compassion. They are new every morning. Every morning Your compassion opens up and You pour out Your compassion upon our life. You know, we are not worthy, but God has made us worthy. And as I think about it, my heart is filled up with gratitude. Next week is the Thanksgiving and we are all going to thank God for His goodness. But let me tell you, God has done so much for us. God has done so much for us.
Hallelujah.
For a moment, can you reflect about what God has done for you? Just thank Him from the bottom of your heart. Say, Lord, I love You. I want to live for You, Lord. I want to please You, Lord. I want You to be reflected in my life, in my words, in everything that I do. I want to honor You before everything else. I want to respect my parents. I want to respect my elders. I want to do what is good for me, good for You, that I will please You. Can we pray? Can we pray together? Dear loving Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness. We thank You as we look into the security that You have given us, the provided us through the salvation that You have given us, O Lord. We are not worthy, but You made us worthy. Lord, we were all going to die and go to hell, but You have pulled us out of the fire. You have given us a life. You have given us good families. You have given us good schools that we can go every day. You have given us every day that we need, Lord, more than enough. Lord, what we deserve is hell, and what we deserve is, Lord, eternal death. But we thank you that through Jesus, you have given us everything that is more than enough for us. I want to bring all these young people before you. Thank you for this year of 2008, how wonderfully you have led us, Lord. For the many days of youth meetings that we had and the many things that you have spoken to us. Lord, as we step into a new year, I pray that you may bless us, Lord. Help us to live closer to you. We pray for our parents. We pray for our church. We pray for our family members. I pray that you bless all of us, oh Father. I want to thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.